All right, and welcome to November 12th on Joe's Daily U.S. History Lesson. It is I, your host, Joseph DeCristoforo, and one of the reasons why I do the show is because I'm a proud patriotic American. And hopefully you're listening because you are also a proud patriotic American. Be sure to check out the Facebook page at facebook.com/Joe's Daily U.S. History Lesson. Don't forget to hit the like button on it. You can also leave your comments and questions on there as well. I am here for you. And now on to today's program. We'll wish a happy birthday to Elizabeth Cady Stanton. Plus, Sherman burns Atlanta, and the Mothman cometh to West Virginia. All right, so now let's get started. 1815, happy birthday, Elizabeth Cady Stanton. Suffragist, social activist, abolitionist, author, one of the main influences in the women's suffrage movement of the late 19th century. Elizabeth Cady, the eighth of 11 children, was born in Johnstown, New York, to Daniel Cady and Margaret Livingston. Daniel was a judge, congressman, and slave owner, and Elizabeth learned a few things about law from her dad when she was growing up. She received a great education at the Johnstown Academy, and later at Emma Willard's Troy Female Seminary in New York, before she became an advocate for women's rights. Being the owner of a slave owner and all, she also became an abolitionist. The fact that Daniel once told his daughter he wished she was a boy probably fueled her movement. In 1840, she married Speaker and co-founder of the Republican Party, Henry Brewster Stanton, with whom she had 7 children. Henry had a cousin named Gerrit Smith, an abolitionist who ran for president 3 times. During the wedding, she had the word obey removed from the wedding vows. That's funny. I didn't do that for my wedding. I didn't even know that was an option. Now look at me. All I ever do is obey my wife. Ha ha. Happy life, happy wife. Right, fellas? You know what they say. Marriage is grand. Divorce, on the other hand, you're looking at about 100 grand. Or more. Anyway, back to Elizabeth. During the honeymoon in London, England, she tried to attend a women's anti-slavery convention, but wasn't invited inside. However, she met Lucretia Botts, and that's when she developed a passion for leading the women's rights movement. In July 1848, she and her friend Botts would hold the first women's rights convention in Seneca Falls, New York. This is where she gave her Declaration of Sentiments speech, which discussed measures way beyond the simple women's rights to vote. It also included the right to own land and earn wages, legal representation, as well as divorce and child custody rights, and other reforms in college education, participating in church affairs, and the moral concept of submission to men. Just so everybody knows, when my wife Teresa tells me to jump, I say, "Sir, how high?" Just so you know. And just like that, the women's movement was in full swing. 3 years later, she met Susan B. Anthony, and the two would pledge their lives to the tireless efforts of women's rights. There was more to women's suffrage than writing articles and publishing books with Susan Anthony, and they often had to tour and give speeches. That's kind of hard to do when you're trying to raise 7 children, so Anthony was able to carry the heavy load there. When the Civil War broke out, they found the Women's Loyal National League to encourage the passing of the 13th Amendment to abolish slavery. However, when it came to the 14th and 15th Amendments, which gave black men the right to vote, Stanton fought the bill, creating a split between women American and African Americans. This schism would lead to Stanton and Anthony creating the Women's National Suffrage Association 4 years after the end of the Civil War. In 1876, she helped to write the Declaration of Rights of Women, which Anthony presented in Philadelphia. By 1890, the two major women's suffrage organizations merged to become the National American Women's Suffrage Association. Getting up there in her later years, she spent less time traveling and more time writing. With her daughter's help, she published 2 volumes of The Woman's Bible, which drew some fire from churchgoers within the organization. On October 26, 1902, Elizabeth Cady Stanton died before she got to see the differences that her restless journey would create, not just here in America, but the world as well. She became the long overdue voice of freedom for women everywhere, and her challenge for women to stop being submissive to men would influence the passing of the woman's right to vote 18 years after her death. Happy birthday, Elizabeth! Moving on to Civil War news, 1864, Sherman burns Atlanta. When Union General William T. Sherman took Atlanta from Confederate General John Bell Hood in early September, that would turn out to be not only the greatest Union victory of the Civil War until Vicksburg and Gettysburg, it also clinched President Lincoln's re-election in 1864. If you've seen Gone with the Wind, you know the story. Sherman divided his army and sent General George Thomas back to Nashville to deal with Hood, while Sherman prepared to move to Savannah. On the way out, his soldiers literally destroyed Atlanta. One disobedient officer lit up 28 boxcars full of ammunition. It created quite possibly the largest explosion of the entire war and destroyed every building within a quarter mile. Out of 3,600 homes, only 400 were left standing. This took some explaining on Sherman's part, but let's just say that although he didn't authorize Atlanta to be burnt until it was nothing but a smoldering shell, he didn't exactly do much to stop it. Speaking of fire in the sky, 1966, the Mothman cometh. On this night in 1966, five men were digging a grave at a cemetery at Point Pleasant, West Virginia, when they saw a human-like figure flying low through the air. I've heard that West Virginia has some mighty large mosquitoes, but this is taking it to a whole new level. Several days later, there was another sighting, again, with a figure, apparently with 10-foot wings, whose eyes glowed red. And no, it wasn't my ex-girlfriend. Look, I realize that Halloween was already a couple weeks ago, but the sightings occurred in November. What else can I say? In December 1967, over a year later, the Silver Bridge collapsed, killing dozens, and the Mothman was blamed, although it hadn't been sighted since the year prior. Local police have called it more of a birdman than a human-shaped moth, perhaps a heron or maybe a sandhill crane that flew off its migration pattern course, such as the one that West Virginia University biology professor Dr. Robert Smith describes, which would have a wingspan of over 7 feet and a reddish area around the eyes. Regardless of what it is or what planet it's from, this merry marvelous moth monster from Point Pleasant is celebrated every year at the Mothman Festival every third week in September. Yes, there goes the neighborhood on this day in 1966, and it hasn't been the same since. If you do visit, make sure you come equipped with a giant mothball so your clothes don't get chomped. The festival includes a Mothman hayride, a Mothman pageant, and a Mothman 5K. Or maybe a fly K, I don't know. And so that, my friends, is going to wrap it up for November 12th on Joe's Daily U.S. History Lesson. Once again, I'm your host, Joseph DeCristoforo. Check out the website, joesdailyushistorylesson.com, as well as the Facebook page. Let me know what you thought about today's episode. For instance, Elizabeth Cady Stanton fans, is there anything you care to add to that story? Civil War buffs, what's your take on Sherman and burning Atlanta? Did you see Gone with the Wind? Or what about the Mothman? It reminds me of a joke I once heard. Kids usually love it. So this guy walks into a dentist's office and says, Doc, you gotta help me. I think I'm a moth. And the dentist says, okay, but I'm a dentist. And the guy says, yeah, I know. He says, you need to see a psychologist. He says, yeah, I know. He says, well, what are you doing here? He says, well, your light was on. Get it? Haha. Because the moths are attracted to light. Yeah. Listen, I'd love to hear a better one if you have one. So yeah, let me know what your take is. And while you're on the website, you can check out some of the multiple choice quizzes while you're on there. Let me know how you do on those. And be sure to check out tomorrow's episode. I'll talk about Harry Truman and the State of Israel, plus Robin Hood, Tinkertown, and Moesburg. Don't miss that. So until then, thanks for listening, everyone, and thanks for being great patriotic Americans. We'll see you tomorrow.